time, but so everything's up in the air. But don't forget my birthday. It's next Saturday. I'll be 69. And, Oh, okay. I'm having trouble bringing John Primit in, running the sound. He's, you know, hard to find good help these days. But again, so I want to thank Wanda and Cindy, our production manager. And I'm going to share some prayer requests again. Joe Weaver, Archibald, Inez's brother, and Chevy Bozeman as she recuperates, Jack and Marjean Boyd. And I found out they did postpone her surgery to a later date. And Dustin Scoggin, Scott Layfield, Cindy Woodward as she heals, and be going to see her doctor Friday. And also remember Brenda Hampton Richards that had the lumpectomy in her breast, and then they found a lymph node. And so pray for all those seniors in nursing homes. They need our prayers, and especially for our healthcare workers. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Tony Huber had on our prayer list had open heart surgery in Shands, and Brother Glenn says he has a long way to go, and so we want to lift him up. He's on our prayer list. You'll find him there on our prayer list. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to try to help Faye sing this song, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Glenn, who's going to preach. I think his text will be Psalms 40, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Not Psalms 40, but Isaiah 40. And so remember that. So Father, Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of this service tonight. Lord, we thank you for our people that are listening in and looking in. And we pray, Father, that they'll have some semblance of a blessing and some identity with the church family. And I know it's not like being here, but we look forward to that day. We pray again that you arrest this virus. I pray that we will abide by the guidelines and be good stewards of what the health authorities tell us to do. And we pray, Father, that I just pray tonight for the politics that centered this situation. Lord, it's just terrible. And then we ask you to forgive us, and we ask you to bless us when our government leaders fight like cats and dogs. And Lord, we just pray for that situation as well. All these listed on our prayer list that I mentioned tonight, Lord, I pray for your perfect will to be accomplished in their life, and they may glorify you through it. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give peace to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. Thank you, Faye. I know y'all are clapping at home, right? All right, Brother Glenn, come on.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken and Miss Faye. We do appreciate the good song tonight. Aren't you glad that the Lord's eye is upon his own? Amen. Consider the sparrows, how they sow not, neither do they reap and gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. And I'll tell you what, if God takes care of the sparrows, I can guarantee you that he takes care of you and me. So we appreciate the song tonight. And Brother Marcus, I hope you're watching tonight. I think maybe you'll appreciate this message tonight because it's kind of based off of a hymn, sort of. The hymn, How Great Thou Art. Not only are we going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 26 primarily. We could look at a bunch of verses in there, but for sake of time we won't. But also we're going to look at the hymn, How Great Thou Art. At a time like this, and of course these are perilous times and a lot going on with the coronavirus. There's a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear in the world. And I think at a time like this, it's very, very important that we focus on the greatness of God. We need to focus on the greatness of God. We need to get our eyes off of the circumstances and stay focused on the Lord. I could think of so many examples, and as I was praying this afternoon, I thought about Peter. You remember the story of Peter when they were out at sea, and the Lord came walking on the sea to them, and Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, let me, bids me come out onto the water with thee." And you know the story says that Peter walked out on the water to the Lord. He said, but when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous and the storm was all around him, he took his eyes off the Lord. And what happened? He sunk. He sunk into the water. And so we can learn from that when we're in the midst of a very difficult storm, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Hebrews says what? It says, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and doing what? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him did what? Despised the shame, endured the cross, and today is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so I think that in this time in which we're living, I want to try to encourage you tonight. Just focus on the greatness of God. Amen? I think at times like this, I don't know about you, but I seem to digress back to my younger Christian years or even childhood. And I remember that verse of scripture when Jesus said, except you become as little children, you shall in no, and you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when I focus on the greatness of God, I don't know about you, but I think about simple things. Amen. I mean, I think about a blessing. We say it with our grandkids all the time. What do we say? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, well, preacher, that is just so simple. Yeah, but it sure is great in the truth that's there. God is great, amen. And God's in control. God knew that we would be facing this trial that we're going in as Americans many, many years ago. I believe the moment that that God said, let there be light, I believe he knew in his omniscient mind that in 2020 we would be facing this crisis. And so it's not new to him. It didn't catch him off guard. And so if we'll look to him, focus on him, and focus on his greatness, keep our eyes upon him, then he can show us what it is that we need to learn through this trial. Now, there's no doubt that through this trial, I'm going to say something here that's controversial and a lot of people don't want to hear, but there is no doubt that what's happening right now in America is two things. Number one, God is punishing sin, and number two, God is chastising his own. Amen. When we go through trials and tribulations like this, God is punishing the wicked and God is chastising the believers. And so we need to understand that we're in the midst of this trial. There's no doubt that God has allowed this to happen. So if God has allowed this to happen, then we need to focus on him. We need to glory in the tribulation. Let it work patience into our lives and let God work out whatever it is that he's trying to do within this very difficult time within our lives. And so if you'll look at Psalm chapter 40 tonight, Psalm chapter 40 and verse 26, of course here Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel and in relation to the creation. And boy, I wish I had time to read a lot of this. This is a beautiful chapter, one of the my favorite chapters in the Bible. But it says in verse 17, I'll hit a couple of them. It says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And then I'll just jump over to verse 26. He said this. He said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Not one faileth. So what does he do? He calls Israel to witness the creation, to express to them his power and his might and his constancy. God is so constant in what's going on today as we look at the world falling apart, but yet God is very consistent in his dealings with the world. And so we need to focus on God. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to look beyond the hills. The psalmist said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh what? From the maker of heaven and earth. And so we need to look at the greatness of God. And what better way can we do that than through the creation? This morning, if you tuned in, I read a verse from Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 that speaks of the constancy of God and how he said, as long as the earth remains, what did he say? He said, seed time and harvest. He said, cold and hot. He said, winter and summer. And what was he saying? He's saying, as long as the earth remains, he said, the cycles are going to be consistent. You see, one thing that we can depend upon God in this time in which we're living today is that God, my friend, is consistent, right? God, everything God's doing is right on time. There's nothing happening that is surprising God, and we should worship God for his greatness, and we can look at the heavens. They declare the glory of God, and it's like I said this morning, you know, everybody is so anxious about what's happening, but don't forget what happened. The sun came up this morning, amen? And what's going to happen in just a little while here, and happening probably right now, the sun is going to set, amen? And then the stars are going to come out into the heavens, and Isaiah said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. Tonight, take a look outside at the stars and look at the magnitude of the billions upon billions of stars in the galaxies beyond your imagination. And yet the Bible says that God, what? He knows them by name. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it said, and I like it the way that he just kind of throws it in there. I believe it's in 126, Genesis 126. And it's like it just comes out of nowhere. And it says, oh, by the way, he made the stars also. Amen. By the way, he made the stars also. So when I think of the greatness of God and I see the cycle of life and I see the change in the seasons, it lets me know that even though we're in a pandemic in America, that God is on his throne, God is in control, and things are falling right in line the way God would have them to line up as we approach the end of this church age and the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ takes place. And I'll tell you, friend, I believe it's at the doors. I believe the Lord could come tonight before I even finish this message. We don't know the day or the hour, but as we see things lining up, and as Brother Ken has shared with us, that what we're seeing are the birth pains of those things that will take place in the tribulation period. And I hate to be a pessimist, friend, and I hate to break this to you, but we really need to focus on God, because whether you like it or not, friend, I don't believe things are going to get better. I'm afraid they're going to get worse. As we get to the end of the age, we're going to see kingdom rise against kingdom. We're going to see pestilence, famine, earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, my goodness. Just the other day, we had, an earthquake in Utah of all places. I don't know when the last time I remember hearing about an earthquake in Utah to you. But yet, what do we see? We see the creation is travailing in pain, yearning for the redemption of the glorious return of Christ, when He will rid the earth from sin and catch the believer away to be with Him. And so I tell you, friends, we need to focus on the greatness of God. You know, one of the great songwriters of our day and times past did that as well. And if you have a hymn book there, you might want to take a look. And as I said, Brother Marcus, you might appreciate this. And you're having to tolerate me and Cindy and Brother Ken and Miss Faye until we are able to get the choir back together. But we'll do the best that we can. Amen. But if I look at this song right here, it helps me to focus on the greatness of God. When I look at this song, the songwriter begins his adoration. Of course, this is a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. How Great Thou Art, page 37 in the large red hymn book. Amen. The songwriter begins his adoration, and he does so in the thought of God as his master and creator. He uses two words to address the Lord. Look what he says. He says, O Lord my God, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And then the last verse he says, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, what? My God, how great thou art. Say, preacher, why this song? Well, think about it. The first verse speaks of the glory of the creation at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The second verse speaks of the adoration of the creation after it had come to fruition, providing for every man's need. The third verse speaks from the time that Christ came some 2,000 years ago and died on the cross, shed His blood to forgive all of our sins, that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with Him. And then verse 4 speaks of the time that Christ will come again in glory and power, catching the bride to be with Him, and then judging this world of sin and ushering in the great millennial kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I think the essence of this, the theme of this psalm, is how great thou art. It's because it encompasses everything that we know of God, from the beginning of creation to the sustenance and the provision of mankind, to the forgiveness of sin, and to the glorious return of Jesus Christ to catch His bride away, and to come and to rule and reign and to reclaim that which Adam lost. What a beautiful thought as we look at this song and focus on the greatness of God. Hey, listen, friend, this ought to encourage you tonight. Amen. This ought to make you know that, yes, I know it's difficult out there. I know we're not sure about tomorrow. But let's remember what the other songwriter said. She said, I may not know about tomorrow, but thank God I know who holds it in His hand. Amen. And God holds it all in His hand. The Bible tells us that. So as the songwriter starts this song, what does he say? He says, oh Lord my God. He uses two specific words for God. He uses the word kurios and he uses the word Elohim. One speaks of His mastery. The other speaks of His work in creation. And so we see that this name that is used by the Holy Spirit in creation, in the creation process, what did he say? He said, in the beginning, God, Elohim. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the plural name for God. Think about it. The songwriter, as he writes this song, his mind goes beyond his own little world. And he contemplates the entire universe from the beginning of creation, the provision of his life, the forgiveness of sins, and the second coming of Christ to take him home. Oh, what a beautiful thought this is. I believe the songwriter here, and his name was Carl Boerig, and we'll talk about him in just for a moment. He stands in wonder of Mr. Wonderful. Amen. I want to be careful how we use terms to describe God, but I kind of like this one because I believe it's scriptural. Amen. I believe he stands in wonder of Mr. Wonderful. And can I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is Mr. Wonderful? Amen. The Bible said, unto us a son is given, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Amen. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And what does it say? In his government, it shall be eternal. Oh, think about that. And even when you look at that song, I believe that it was this verse that inspired this song. Because just as we see in the song, verse 1, original creation, verse 2, provision, 3, the cross, 4, the second coming. Look at Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us, what? A child is born. Unto us a child is given. And then it goes all the way to the government shall be upon his shoulder. So it carries us all through the history of time until the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when we think about this name Wonderful here, when he's called Wonderful, do you know that that name really what it means is miracle? It means miracle. Think about that. Jesus Christ's birth was a miraculous birth. I believe the creation was a miracle. I don't know about you, friend, but I can't go outside today and say, let there be light, and then there be light. Amen? But God did. Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light. And so without a doubt, the creation was a miracle in its origin, and it remains a miracle in its consisting. Think about that. It was one incredible miracle when in the 6 days of creation, when God created all that there is. But I think, Brother Ken, even a greater miracle than that is that for nearly 6,000 years, every bit of it has consisted just the way that God intended it to do. Amen? As we said, go back to Genesis 8:22. The seasons, the seed time and harvest, the hot and cold, the winter and summer. Hey, listen, friend, the seasons are changing right on time, right on schedule. And listen, the sun's setting, it's coming up, and all of that tells us what? It tells us that God is large and in charge. Amen? I had to get it in there somewhere. God is large and in charge. He's in control, friend. Colossians 1:16 says this, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And now I like verse 17. It says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now think about that. He is before all things. That speaks of his eternality. His eternality, and by him all things consist. That speaks of his omnipotence. That Jesus Christ was from eternity past. He is from everlasting and everlasting. He is God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by him all things consist. Oh, listen, here's a good time to go back to when you remember your young Christian life. You remember this one? He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 I like this part better. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, sisters, in his hand. He's got the whole, and then he could talk about the little bitty babies. He's got it all together, friends. Listen, he's holding it all together. Oh, listen, friend, the only reason that the world just doesn't collapse and implode right this minute is because Jesus Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. Oh, think about it. One of the greatest differences between believers and non-believers that we can encourage ourselves tonight as believers is that our faith is grown and strengthened when we look at the creation. When we look at the creation, we see the handiwork of God. Amen? But when unbelievers look at the creation, all they see is happenstance and survival of the fittest. Aren't you glad tonight, Trinity Baptist Church, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you can look out tonight when those stars come out and know that God is in heaven and God is on his throne and that he created those stars to give light upon the earth? He did it for you. Amen. Take a glance tonight, and when you see the glory of the heavens, just realize the Bible says that God made all of that To do what? To give light upon the earth. Think about it. Romans 1:19 says that because of that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Friend, Paul says, when you look at the glory of the creation, you're without excuse to reject the Creator God. Oh, listen, Job put it this way. Job said, this is a great passage of Scripture, Job 37, you ought to mark it in your Bible. It says, "At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend." Oh, listen, truly, truly, the songwriter saw the power of God when he said, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands has made." Oh, listen, he said, "When I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in." Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us," what? "All things." The greatest display of God's power was provided in the gospel of Jesus Christ to undeserving sinners. That's why Paul said in Romans 1, what did he say? He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." But now think about this. Not only do we see the power of God in creation, not only do we see the power of God in the gospel, but we also see the power of God demonstrated through his mercy. Oh, listen, you can't separate grace and mercy. Amen. Listen, for God to bestow something upon you which you do not deserve, which is grace, he must first withhold from you that which you do deserve, which is death, and that is mercy. So every single day, listen, as we here in the Bible Belt in South Georgia and where we are, yes, we're under this pandemic, but listen, the numbers are nowhere near what they could be. I think God is having mercy on the majority of us. God could just let this thing go with a blink of an eye, and he could just wipe us all out if he wanted to do it. But he hasn't done that. Why? Because I don't believe God is done with the church. I don't believe God is done in this age of grace. I don't know how many more days we have to the rapture, but I know that God has a plan, and God is long-suffering to us. We're willing that none should perish. And as long as there's one more person out there that will bend the knee to Christ and become a member of the body of Jesus Christ and that precious bride, God is going to withhold his wrath from this earth, and he's going to preserve his church in this age, and he's going to give us the opportunity to go forth and to share the good news of the gospel with those who desperately need to hear it. Oh, when I think this song, when the songwriter, he then knew what was beyond the cross. What was beyond the cross. He knew what was before it. He knew what was the precursor to it. But then in the last verse, he looked at what was beyond the cross. He said, "When Christ shall come, when Christ shall come." Oh, listen, friend, I got to thinking about that. And I heard a preacher say this on the radio earlier this week. And this pandemic is terrible, and any life lost is terrible. But I heard a preacher say this week, he said, "What is the worst thing that the coronavirus can do to you? What's the worst thing that the coronavirus can do to you?" He said, "If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, have been saved, born again, birthed into the family of God, the worst thing that it could do to you is usher you into the presence of your Lord and your Savior." That's the worst it could do. To be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. Oh, listen, friend, we don't have to live in fear. As Brother Ken has been encouraging us, we just need to use common sense. We need to be consistent. We need to obey the laws as much as we possibly can and continue to provide for our family and our loved ones. Oh, listen, when Christ shall come, think about it. 2 Thessalonians said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You see, the songwriter not only looked at how great God was in the creation, he looked at how great God was in redemption, but he also looked at how great God would be, will be, when he comes again. I believe the songwriter looked for what? That blessed hope. He looked for that blessed hope. The Bible says when Christ would take us home, whether it be through death, whether it be through the rapture, listen, the songwriter said, joy will fill my soul. To be in the very presence of God himself would be a demonstration of the greatness of God, redeemed, fit for heaven. Think about it. Paul said one day, God's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Think about this. Even all things unto himself. So we're looking forward to that day. You know, when I think about this hymn, let me just close with this and just give you this little bit of information and just encourage you. Focus on the greatness of God. This hymn, believe it or not, many times was associated with the Crusades of Billy Graham. This song originated in 19th century Europe. In 1886, a Swedish pastor named Carl Boberg was caught in a sudden thunderstorm while visiting a country estate. As the storm passed, giving way to the sweet songs of birds and a green countryside glistening in sunlight, Boberg composed and wrote, believe it or not, 9 original stanzas of this hymn. This song originally had 9 stanzas. Amen. I've heard the old saying, 2 things you never want to be in a Baptist church, a front pew and a third stanza in a song, because you always get overlooked. Amen. But listen, this song had 9 original verses when it was originally written. In the time, the hymn was translated into German and Russian. And then one day, it was noticed, Brother John, you'll appreciate this, by a British missionary who was serving in Ukraine, found this song. And this British missionary, his name was Stuart K. Hine, H-I-N-E. And this missionary, Stuart Hine, often sang the song with his wife before he preached the word of God and tried to witness to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, he and his wife translated 3 stanzas into English from the Russian, and Hine himself added the 4th verse, when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation. He added the 4th verse himself. And think about this. We need to realize that God is great, and we need to lift our eyes up on high. And we need to take to heart Isaiah 40:26. We need to lift up our eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth, not one. Oh, listen, friends, God is able. Amen. God is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Hey, trust in the Lord. Look to him, and he'll meet our needs. He'll keep us safe. He'll keep us sound. He'll give us peace. He'll give us wisdom and guidance in these difficult days in which we live. Let us pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration that you gave Isaiah as he penned those incredible words that told Israel to look to the glory of the creation, to realize who their God really was, and of his power and his might and his ability to keep them because he had created them. And Lord, you're able to do the same for us today. And so Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that we would look to the hills from whence cometh our help. No, our help not comes from the hills, but it comes from the Maker. We look beyond the hills. We look to that one who made the hills. We look to the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For by him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so, Father, may we look to him today to meet every need that we have, to protect us, to guide us, Lord, through this difficult time in which we're living. And Lord, may you receive the honor, the praise, and the glory through this difficult time. And Lord, I pray if you do tarry, Lord, in your coming, that we'll look back a few years from now, and Lord, we'll see what your mighty hand accomplished and what you did in our church and what you did in our families and what you did in our hearts as individuals, that we may use this one day as a great word of testimony to lead many people to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it all in his name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Brother Ken, turn it back over to you.